I tell you though, Carl's got to improve his setup over there.
Oh yeah, no, it's well, he is the most. I know, I'm sure he'll listen to this later, but he is one of the most unorganized people I've ever met. So
right, well, yeah, Josh,
our shed is always in a complete state of
disarray.
In the year 490 BC, a huge host of warriors from Persia landed on the coast of ancient Greece. In a hard-fought battle ensued, and the armies of ancient Greece won an unlikely victory. A runner by the name of Philoxenes ran 26.2 miles from Marathon to Athens to give the news of his victory to the people. Upon proclaiming victory, Philoxenes collapsed dead of exhaustion. But he died a hero. 2,500 years later, a race known as the Boston Marathon is run in another land, near a shed, in proximity of a lake known as Maspinock. I'm Matt Garf.
I'm Normal Andy.
I'm Producer Chris.
Yeah, and what, we have Josh with us, right, Andy?
Yeah, we've got Josh Ellingson.
Hi, I'm Josh.
Hey, this Josh.
It's so nice in the shed.
It is.
It is. Nice and so
we've got nice clear weather today. So
yeah.
Carl, what was up with all that talk of the marathons?
Oh, so this is really weird. I mean, it kind of has to do with our current plague. And so the marathon is run through starts in Hopkinton, Mass, and that's where the shed is located. So I kind of, since we always talk about ancient cultures here, we have crack a beer. Sorry.
Yeah.
Since we always talk about ancient cultures, I decided to rope in the marathon and the other thing, Chris, this has to do with cooking.
Okay.
Marathon was named Marathon because in ancient Greece, it means fennel.
Oh, nice.
Because there was a ton of fennel growing there.
Marathon means fennel?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, isn't that freaking weird?
Wow. I mean,
so could you go out? You should go out to the marathon and just chuck heads of fennel at them.
I think that was lost in the, you know, I think it means that in ancient Greek, not in actual right. Greek. So I guess there was a lot of fennel growing near Marathon.
Well, that's a pretty nice place to live then.
So, okay, Marathon, in ancient Greece, Marathon literally means a place full of fennels.
Nice.
that's it. Chris loves cooking with fennel.
I do. And
who actually doesn't love marathons, really?
I mean, right, exactly.
Goes together.
When I was in Rome, actually, I saw a huge truck full of fennel, and I took a photo of it, and I sent it to Chris. So, I mean, fennel must grow like crazy in the Mediterranean, I guess.
Right. But there wasn't another reason you were talking about marathons?
Oh, right.
I was trying to tee up, Carl.
So Art on the Trail, I just briefly mention it. I have my paintings on a trail outside. It's in the center trail in Hopkinton, and it's until like October 19th. So I'm going to try to get this. So it's out right now. So just go to Hopkinton and walk down a trail. I drew like 8 different landmarks on the marathon. And
this is the Boston Marathon.
Boston Marathon. Right. And I shellacked it, tied them to wire, and hung them to a tree. It looks like they're kind of floating. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then I have the ghost train out there too on the path too, which is, I guess in 2015, an MBTA train took off without a driver. And it was known as the ghost train. So I painted a painting called the ghost train, and it has like undead driving a train through Boston, and Paul Revere's ghost is galloping, and all sorts of freaky skeletons, and it's spooky. So it kind of like has a Halloween theme, and I shellacked that and put it up on the trail too. So that's in a separate place. October 7th or the 17th, but October 7th has passed, but we're close to October 7th. And it's a mile long trail on the center trail, which is off of Main Street in Hopkinton. So just just go if you're go and wander down a trail and you can see my artwork. So that's all I have to say.
Excellent.
Nice. Well, that's really cool. Is it like somehow wired up so people don't just take off with the art, or how does it stay out there?
I got a step ladder and I climbed up a tree and wired it to the trees, you know.
Oh, so it's way up, so it's people just
it's
can't.
It's not super way up. I mean, some
if someone really wants it. I helped Carl hang it, and we used a lot of different materials to hang
which we don't want to give away because
we can't give away the secrets. Well, next episode we'll talk about how to hang a piece of art in a tree, but
and make it look like it's floating.
With us we have Josh Ellingson. He's a illustrator and teacher by trade, but then you also do a lot of weird video work. You make buttons and pins and belt buckles and stickers.
Yeah, it's kind of been all over the place, especially in the last year.
Yeah, the last year or two, you were like filming raccoons and doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, just being holed up at home for the last, you know, like year and a half or something. And, you know, I was kind of a homebody anyway, but I mean, I kind of went weird, hermity, got into making like doing video work, you know, just kind of random stuff with old TVs. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And you collect TVs too, right?
Well, that's kind of how it started. I mean, I collect a lot of stuff. I go to the thrift store like every day and look at old thrift stuff. And I'm always kind of on the look, or I was always kind of on the lookout for like a good black and white TV, because I wanted to get a nice black and white TV and play the Beverly Hillbillies on it, like on loop forever. I just thought it would be cool just to always turn on a TV and then the Hillbillies would be on.
Yeah.
And one day I found one at the thrift store and it was perfect. And you can kind of tell when they're good when you turn on the TV in the store and the static is nice and clean. I don't know how to describe it, but it wasn't like blurry or whatever. It was like, all right, this one's going to work. So I dragged it home and started experimenting with it and kind of just kept going, you know? Yeah.
Well, and you can't even really pick up. Do they even broadcast the old style signals anymore, or is it all digital broadcast?
It's mostly digital, I think, and at least here. You know, you can occasionally like pick up an FM radio station, but you know, you'll still get static, but you can kind of hear whatever's popular on the radio, because it has to be a really strong station to kind of come through. But yeah, you kind of have to get a bunch of adapters and figure out how to either hook it to digital cable or like run your own player into it to make anything work.
A while back, I was I got a like a powerful like antenna, like because I canceled my, I was trying to just have internet and not do cable, and I and I tried to get like I got a bunch of stations with a pretty good antenna for like $10, but you have to buy it, and like a good antenna, like
you can't just use a clothes hanger,
right? It has to like plug into the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
And you have to have a TV too that can see digital. I found even I bought a very new monitor, but then I realized why it's just a monitor and that it doesn't receive any digital signals, so there's no way to hook up even a digital thing, which is fine. I bought it to use as a monitor, but I thought maybe I could use it as a TV.
Right, you got to get a thing to be able to change the channels. Yeah.
Right.
Josh, I have a million questions for your art, and like people need to see it. It's like phenomenal. We have one segment to do before it. So we have a segment about the plague, speaking of ancient Greece and shit like that. So let me tee it up.
Okay.
Bring out your friggin' dead. Come on.
Oh, we got a new guy. I think the old guy stopped coming. This is
a
new guy.
Who's got my dead? Who's got my dead?
This goes on for a little bit. I can stop it if you want to hear it.
No, no. Is he
come
in the
on,
shed?
You freaking barnyard hat on. Bring out your dead already. Come on. Let's go. Where's your freaking dead? All right, who's got my dead? Who's got my dead? Let's go. Bring out your dead already.
I love the Boston Monty Python.
Yeah.
Come on. No, this is nothing to do with Sully at Duncan's Python. Already. Let's go.
So what?
I gotta should go to the jump into store the second and get some beer for my mom.
Yeah, that can be edited. That should be edited down a bit.
Bring out your.
Oh, let's do it again.
I can shut it off at any time.
Already.
I just thought it was funny. All right,
keep it going.
I could have shut it down. Like it goes on for like 2 minutes. I wanted. I might do different parts of it actually.
Yeah.
The plague.
Who's whoa?
Oh,
that's the train.
No trains here.
That was probably me because it's Fleet Week in San Francisco.
Oh, great!
And so, the Blue Angels keep flying over. So it's probably this mic is probably gonna pick that up.
That's cool. No, shit happens. Like last week, we had a thunderstorm and acorns dropping on the shed.
Oh,
so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I live not right next to, but very close to the L. So,
it's like in the Blues Brothers, right, Chris?
Not quite that. But my neighbor also has chickens. And, if I went outside, you'd be able to hear rooster going. Like the thing just goes all day.
Wow.
My neighbor, sometimes exercises outside. He does like martial arts training.
Oh, nice.
And part of his Israeli combat style training is to like scream while he's exercising. And that was happening during every Tuesday and Thursday during the pandemic for like a couple hours every night would be him like screaming next door.
And does he have
relaxing?
Does he have like a sumo wrestler diaper on? You know,
it's funny that you say that because he is often out there just in his underwear. Like, anyway,
that is awesome. That's cool.
What is your plague fact?
Oh, right.
Well, plague fact. Carl actually was asking about plague doctor masks.
Oh, nice.
You know those bird beak type masks and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those weren't around during the original plague, like in the, mid 1300s. That was the, Black Death. That's the big one that people think of, even though it continued to reoccur. There were plagues basically up until the 1800s. It seemed like every decade or so there would be a new plague. But they didn't start using those bird beak masks until like 1640s or so. So it was 300 years after the original plague that people started to actually use them. And the concept was that they would fill the beak with all types of herbs and flowers because they thought that people got sick through vapors, through humors in the air. I think miasma was a term that was used a lot. So they figured if the doctor didn't smell anything bad, he was keeping himself safe. But they don't think it really worked. What's that?
Well,
I said you could put some fennel in there.
Absolutely. I put loads of fennel in there. Yeah.
I mean, it did work because of social distancing. Like your beak away from everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it worked for the wrong reasons. I mean, they did it for the wrong reasons, but it actually worked, right? I mean,
it didn't really work. It didn't really work because the guys were touching them. And because the bubonic plague was something that it wasn't transmitted by air. It was, it wasn't like a virus that you would breathe in. It wasn't like
fluids.
It was by fluids and, you would get it from flea bites.
Yeah.
So as soon as the doctor entered the house of someone who had it, who'd been bitten by fleas or bed bugs, I mean, I'm sure there were fleas. I mean.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Those people had dirt floors in a lot of the houses at that point. So yeah, there were just bugs everywhere. And if a bug bit the guy with the plague and then bit the doctor, he was toast.
Yeah, but he's not going to get any fluids like splattering into his eyes, you know what I mean? Like, or his nose. So, I mean, it kind of probably worked a little.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're doing your doctoring quite right if you're getting fluids in your all over your face while you're treating the patient. It sounds like you're doing something wrong.
I hear you.
So that's what it is. And they actually became really popular as carnival masks and masks for different festivals throughout Europe. So if you were to go to, say, fennel festival in Italy, you'd probably see people, you know, wearing the plague doctor masks. But probably like 99% of the masks made throughout human history of that type were made for carnivals and festivals and things like that, not actually for plague doctors, because not all plague doctors use them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like for a plague mask, like, are you, like, is it like something that just was like very quirky that was so cool looking that it just got passed down? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like used all the time, like, but it was just so cool looking that like historians kind of gripped onto it. And
well, yeah, but it wasn't even just historians. Incoming.
Sorry.
I love this. Awesome. We're keeping
yeah.
these.
It's Top Gun over here.
Yeah.
But the thing was, you know, that people saw this engraving that this guy drew of a doctor in France or Germany, I believe, who was wearing one of these masks, and everyone loved it so much, people started wearing them at festivals and carnivals.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, they don't really know how many doctors used them, but it didn't seem to be that common. So
right.
More of a party thing than anything else.
Plague masks were an early meme?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Back when memes had to be transmitted via engravings.
Right.
Yeah, you can totally see somebody like digging through a box. I got to find something to wear to a festival. wait, what's this 300-year-old mask with dead flowers stuffed in it? This will work great.
Yeah. This will work great, yeah.
It smells like fennel.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I have to warn people about is if you do a lot of online research about plague masks, expect that all of the ads that Google serves up to you will be for a $9.99 plague mask that you can buy at Walmart.
Right.
Oh, it'll be on your phone. It'll be everywhere. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I might buy one. Yeah. $9.99?
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
So Josh, getting back to Josh, yeah. People need to see this stuff you do because it's so psychedelic. I can't even like imagine, can you see it in real life, or is it like,
yeah, it's real. Yeah. Carl was asking me, are these animations? And I was like, no, it's video.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just illusions.
So it's an illusion. Like you have like a TV
with,
I'm going to try to describe it because was checking it out. You have a TV with these crazy 3D creatures. I'm trying to like remember back to like
I love this.
And but then there's like
do
a
it
fish,
from memory.
Yeah.
But then there's
what
like
else
a fish,
happens?
Then there's like a fishbowl on top of the TV, and it goes into the fishbowl somehow. It's mind fucking blowing. It's like, is this an animation? This is like if you walked into a room, you can see this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And it looks like it's floating there.
In fact, like if you go to Disneyland, you can see this because it's the same effect as you would see at Haunted Mansion in the big ballroom with the ghosts, you know, dancing around, or the Hatbox ghost with the head in the hat in the box. You know, it's a really old stage magic trick called Pepper's Ghost. I think it was invented by John Pepper, and it was really just a way to like make something look up. Make something appear as though it's there, but it's like a ghost, like kind of transparent and not really there. And it's really just a reflection is all.
Sweet. It looks very much like a hologram in the video.
They get referred to as holograms a lot. The other place you've probably seen this like more recently is like when the gorillas perform live in front of an audience and they're an animated band, but they're there. That's the same kind of hologram technique, but it's actually just a different version of the Pepper's Ghost illusion. But no one wants to call it Pepper's Ghost because it's super old timey sounding, you know. But if you call it holograms, you run the risk of like, you know, annoying your holography scientist friends, you know. But I've heard them called Pepper's Ghost holograms, or Pepper's Ghost style holograms, which I kind of like because you say hologram, people. Here we go. Hold on.
Incoming.
Yeah. Thank you.
I feel like we're in MASH.
Yeah. I kind of feel like I'm in MASH because I got these big headphones on and this microphone.
Yeah. I'm looking at these right now. Now I pulled it up, actually, and it's even more intense than I remember.
Yeah. Like, so can you, I don't think we've given a clear
description
of what's happening. Right. It's not your fault, Josh.
Yeah.
Apparently it's my fault, but I'm watching them now so I could try to describe it.
Okay, go for it.
One of them, there's a rabbit, right?
That's the strange creature you're
talking about.
So one of them was a rabbit and it's on TV and it kind of like floats back and forth, and then all of a sudden it gets sucked out of the TV and into like what it looks like a glass cylinder, and all of a sudden it's a 3D image floating around above the TV. It's like super intense.
Yeah, and it's much simpler than it sounds. It's a reflection of a video that's playing where on a surface you can't see. Cool. I don't know which one you're looking at, but it's probably a reflection of like an iPad or a LCD screen underneath a monitor or something. So
you don't have to give it away, man.
No, I totally.
No, here's we want to talk about the science.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing about this stuff is like, you know, I like photographing it and showing it and you know, making like a nice documentation of like the illusion of the way it looks. But I also like telling people how it works, because that's part of it for me, is just saying, hey, look, you can do this, you know, and I make videos that show you how to make your own at home. So
what is, can you give the audience your TV Instagram just so they can look while they listen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You should totally go to at ellingson.tv. So there's a dot in the Instagram handle. So
two L's.
Yeah, ellingson.tv.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is really cool, and you're doing cool things like...
It's amazing.
Like I think you've updated the rabbit trick where now you have it, like you're pulling a rabbit out of a hat, basically, into a TV or something like that.
Yeah, I picked up a clear plastic top hat at the thrift store. Because, like I said, I'm always there, and there was a clear plastic hat, and I thought, well...
Yeah.
I have to pull a rabbit out of that somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I set it up so that a little TV is on top of the clear plastic hat, and then a Pepper's Ghost illusion of a rabbit is sitting in the hat, and then gets sucked into the television screen, basically.
Yeah. And so are you just creating like video loops that sync up with one another? Is that kind of how? So it just kind of repeats over and over again, or?
Well. Yeah, I make those for when I take them away from my desk. So if you go to my window display now, it's all on a loop. But when they're here in my studio, like I've got them live hooked up to audio sources and manipulation stuff. So I can hook my synthesizer up to it and, you know, play a note on loop and make it move to the audio. And that's part of the fun too, is like you can use like a synthesizer or a radio, or I can clap my hands, or the jet can go by and so it'll trigger like, you know, the rabbit going up and down.
I mean, how much LSD do you need to be on to like figure this shit out? Wow.
Well, I mean, I think it's probably a good to have had done a bunch of LSD like years ago, but like you don't want to be on LSD currently and trying to figure this out, because I don't think
I'm joking. It was like joke. I mean, that's all I could think of. It's like if you set up a whole house and then you had people walk through like tripping, it'd be like whoa. Even not tripping, actually.
You know, you're saying that you like to show people that they can do it. Is there a way that people could do it at home that would be, you know, fairly not having to buy old black and white TVs or anything?
Oh yeah. You definitely don't need those. One that I like to show is if you have like an old cassette tape with a clear plastic case. So like one that's all clear plastic. Okay. One of those kind of cases. Right. What you can do is just take the tape out and then fold the case back on itself. You know, you ever done that where you fold it backwards on itself and just kind of sit it down?
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay. So when you set a case down like that, it kind of, part of it goes out at an angle. If you take that and you put it on top of your phone, because a cassette case is about the right size as your iPhone or something. If you put that on top of your phone, that's the right angle to catch a reflection in the case. So all you need to do then is just fire up a video, like you can search for like goldfish on a black background on YouTube or something and find a loop of a goldfish just chilling out swimming. Set a cassette case on top of your phone and dim the lights a little bit, and you should be able to see the goldfish floating in midair above your phone, you know, as a reflection.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. It's just nice. The video needs to have like a black background, because anything black will be transparent in the glass. So, right. Yeah.
How old is this illusion?
It's like the 1800s. Yeah. So like mid to late 1800s.
Yeah. I almost think they were like the most intelligent people lived in the 1800s. It seems like they were really freaking smart.
They had a lot of time on their hands.
And like a lot of stuff to figure out too. Like
mm-hmm.
The kind of technology was just starting to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when they did the Pepper's Ghost, I think it was even cooler because it was in 3D, because reflections right. are in 3D. So yeah. when they did it, they'd actually have like a full size giant piece of glass with somebody standing like just outside of view.
And oh,
they
you're
had
kidding
like,
me.
And they were lit up like with candlelight or whatever, right. like gaslight or whatever they used. And that would appear, you know, in the reflection in three dimensions. So the way I'm doing it is with like, you know, iPhones and iPads and whatever. Right. So it's 3D-ish, but it's not as 3D as the 1800s.
How much work would it take to do an 1800s version? Like,
oh man, I don't. I mean, I guess you just need a big piece of glass, you know, and somewhere right. to put it. I mean,
yeah, and black velvet works really well for black backgrounds. And
so you could do a velvet Elvis, like coming back from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Right, you just have to get the real Elvis.
Yeah, or you just hang a piece of black velvet or whatever the darkest, the blackest cloth you have. Hang that over the area that's being reflected. And then right. a person could step in front of it and they would be the only thing reflected because the black fabric would
right.
block out the
yeah. mirror.
But where would they be? Would they be hiding somewhere? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how could you do it so it just had a 3D person of a real person, but the audience couldn't see the person? You know what I'm saying?
I've seen it done a couple different ways. Like, one of the ways is where the person is down in the orchestra pit, you know?
Ah.
And the glass is at a 45 degree angle towards the audience, I suppose. So the light is reflecting from the orchestra pit into the glass. So it appears that the person's on the stage, but they're down in the pit. And that's what the audience sees. Or I've seen it where it's off to stage left or stage right with a piece of glass. And like the curtain is covering, you know, where the person's standing. I don't know. I saw Mr. Wizard do it on Mr. Wizard's World, like in the
80s. Oh, is that where it started?
I mean, I loved that show. Like, I couldn't wait to watch like stuff like that. But I didn't think about Pepper's Ghosts again until, you know, like 2 years ago or something.
So. Yeah. So what was the thing that triggered it? Like what was the evolution of you getting to this point where you're doing these weird television illusions? So I guess you already said it was just buying TVs at thrift stores and wanting to do something with them.
Yeah, I brought that set home, and then what happened was you know, I'm always dragging stuff home, like either right. thrift store stuff or whatever off the street. So I before the TV, I had dragged home like an aquarium, like a giant glass aquarium. And right. I was like going to put, you know, fish in it and stuff, but I just never got around to it or couldn't decide where I wanted to put it. So I just had this empty aquarium. Then I had the TV at home, started doing video stuff on it. And then Christmas time starts rolling around and I'm thinking about putting up my tree, but I'm like, where am I going to put it? I got all this stuff, you know, like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll put the Christmas tree in the aquarium and then make this like Christmas diorama like in the aquarium. So I start right. loading up this aquarium with like all this Christmassy stuff, but also kind of, you know, like a fish tank stuff. And then I thought, oh, I'll put my TV in there too. And what I'll do is I'll put like video on the TV of a fish. And then I've got a fish, you know, but it's like it's like a video fish.
Right.
So I got that going. And then I'm like, okay, I think I'm just going to watch this documentary on Netflix about Imagineering. So,
oh, nice.
Or no, it wasn't Netflix. It was Disney Plus has the Imagineers. So oh, cool. I fired that up and there was an episode about the Haunted Mansion. And, you know, I'm like, wait, I can do that. I know about Pepper's Ghost. I watched Mr. Wizard when I was a kid.
Right.
Like, so, yeah. And I'm like, wait, that's that easy to do? So I think I have all this stuff. Cause like I said, I have a lot of stuff. So, and it really doesn't take much. You just need something at an angle. And I just needed a piece of glass big enough. Sure enough, I had a piece of like, I don't know, acrylic for framing or something, you know, just like a 18 by 24. And I put it at an angle inside and I put a monitor on top of the aquarium and fired up a video of a fish on a black background. And then now I've got a ghost fish in with my video fish. I'm like, I got to do more of these. This is awesome. That was easy. Yeah. So that was the beginning of it. And then it just kind of more and more.
How did the synthesizer trigger stuff get involved with that? Because you do a lot of cool, there's videos of you like playing the synthesizer and you're like squishing and pulling a lemon or something like that. You know, like it's like,
again, that's another thrift store thing. Like I brought home a stylophone and you know what those are. For people that don't know, it's like a little noisemaker toy like thing, but you can make music with it if you know what you're doing. And it was cheap. I bought it, brought it home and thought, how can I make this manipulate video? And I don't know, I've got this live video software that can interact with audio sources. So I was like, well, I can just do this. So I plugged the stylophone into my computer and then, you know, fired up one of those videos and set the parameters right so that if I just tapped a note, it would affect the video. So none of the stuff that you're seeing in my experiments are like 3D rendered or anything. Right. They're all videos that I'm squeezing and pushing and pulling with whatever.
It's all old technology.
And I love synthesizer stuff now. Like I got that stylophone and then I'm like, ah, oh, man, this is gonna be a rabbit hole. I know it. And next thing you know, I'm like, I bought a Moog synthesizer, like nice. A you know, affordable one. And because again, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not a musician, but I do like weird sounds. Yeah. And I can't stop doing that now. So now I have like way too many synthesizers.
At least you're not into modular synths yet. Yeah. I mean, I personally have gone down like a synthesizer.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk.
We should. I'm kind of out of it now, but
for
a while I was like the weird noise guy in a bunch of bands.
Oh, awesome.
I bought a theremin on a whim.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden I was in like three bands.
It's an expensive like rabbit hole to go down. Yeah. Especially if you're not like making money with it.
Yeah. You never make money.
No.
weird art. You're not making too much money. You're just having fun. That's true. Yeah.
Maybe you could make some money around Halloween at haunted houses or something. Right.
Totally.
Because those guys are making bank.
They are, man. Hand over fist. You know?
And then half of them after that, they become mall Santas and start raking it in doing that. Yeah.
Dude, I have a crazy story about a haunted house when I was a kid.
That's
right. So of course we're walking through this haunted house. It was a really good haunted house, like a really good.
This is like what year would you say?
It was in the '80s. I was a kid.
Early '80s.
I was a kid.
And so this is not like the haunted houses you see nowadays.
It was I don't know. It was like probably the best haunted house I've ever been in. I don't know where it was. I don't know when it was, but I have this vivid freaking memory. And I was a wise ass as a kid, if you believe it or not. So of course, like this mad scientist is like, do you want some brains? And like everybody's like backing up because this guy has a fucking brain. You know what I mean? I go, yeah. And he goes, I held out my hand and he put a fucking actual brain in my hand. And I was like, this isn't a plastic toy. This is a brain. You know what I mean? And I'm like, take it back. I had it was a brain, man. I was like, yeah, I'll have a brain. I think it was like a dissected brain. I don't know what the hell.
Like, probably a cow's brain or something. Like you can buy brain at the butcher. Right.
Yeah. But I was freaked out. It was like, okay, Carl, you shouldn't ask for brains when somebody asks you.
Right.
If somebody asks you if you want a brain, say no.
Yeah, because you were expecting to get spaghetti.
I thought it was like a spaghetti. Like I thought it was a cheap trick. So I was like, yeah. Fucking, I've done haunted houses, and it was like literally a heavy brain in my hand. You know, like
whoa.
It's just another another reminder that you should never go into a haunted house getting all being all cocky, thinking, "Yeah, I know haunted houses. Yeah. I know the deal.
Deal right. with this brain."
Right. Exactly. So that was So actually, for your next trick, Josh, you should have like a brain like floating around, like 3D.
Yeah, you could have Carl's head. On a video screen, and then the brain comes out of Carl's head and goes in a fishbowl.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, what you got to do, speaking of the 80s, you got to do something with Max Headroom.
Oh, man, love Max Headroom. Yeah.
I'm actually drawing the title card for this episode while we're talking. I drew you, Josh, in a television screen with the Max Headroom background.
Cool.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. It's the obvious amazing. Thing to do.
I can't wait to see it.
Did you guys think that's a little weird that Andy's drawing Max Headroom and I just said Max Headroom? I mean, we're not in the
same place.
It's
only weird if you don't take into account that we probably watched Max Headroom television show and all the Pepsi commercials or whatever it was and Back to the Future. So when you consider that, Max Headroom was pretty big.
So you're thinking,
I guess no one watched the TV show.
You're thinking when you're thinking 3D image, you're thinking Max Headroom. Is that what you're thinking, Andy? Like, is it?
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking like early TV, kind of like TV future, I guess is what I
still think that's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
Sure. It's a little weird. But, all right. I mean, we are all kind of the same generation.
Yeah, we're all tuned to the same frequency. And
I guess so.
I think it's VHF or UHF.
Yeah, it's UHF for sure.
Wait, what was it? What was the knockoff? What was the knockoff music channel that, like, if too cheap
In Massachusetts, yeah. Josh, we had a music channel called V66 that was on it was UHF's channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a fake MTV.
Music videos.
It was like a local radio station except on television, and they did what MTV does. So you could call in requests and stuff. They put you on the air too.
Oh, whoa.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
And we never had cable as kids, so we had to watch V66.
Yeah, that's all my video knowledge comes from. All my Twisted Sister knowledge comes from V66. Yeah.
I want to rock.
Yeah, I want to rock was the big one.
That was it. Yeah, right.
I liked it better than MTV because you could call in. You could make requests, and especially if it was late at night. If you were you get home from a party at like 2:30, you call them up and you say, like, I want to see this video. And they're like, yeah, no one else is calling. Go for it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on. We just played it. Let's do it again.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had him do it a night that was almost entirely like Adrian Belew and King Crimson.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
There's videos for that?
Yeah. What was the one? Oh, Adrian Belew did one for Big Electric Cat. I remember that one. But then they had like footage of like live King Crimson shows. But most of the King Crimson stuff too was that whole like... they had a few videos from that Beat and Discipline, those three, the red, blue, and yellow.
Right,
ones.
Yellow.
Yeah.
Three of a perfect pair.
Right, perfect pair. Yeah.
So, Josh.
Yeah.
So, I feel like we originally met at comic conventions, and you were selling, like, prints of your illustrations and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, so you kind of, like, for money, you do... freelance illustration, right? And you're teaching now too, right?
Yeah, mainly like teaching because a lot of the work I was doing illustration wise was event based stuff, and as you can imagine, that kind of went away.
Oh yeah.
And so I was still selling pins though, so I designed like TV pins and
these are really cool pins because they have, again, you're using old technology. Trying to think, you have lenticular stickers in the pins.
Yeah, they didn't start out that way. They were just like glow in the dark TV pins with like, static, like just, clear stickers that go over top of them so that they, with images from old TV and movies. And because it's glow in the dark, the image would glow, right? But then I was like, oh, wait, I think I can make these move. And so yeah, now they are, it's like old technology, like you said, where, you know, you bend it back and forth and you can see the image move, but they're also still transparent. So they still glow. Nice. And that's what's fun about them. And yeah, yeah. So those are popular and I sell those. So even though the illustration stuff is kind of, you know, dried up a little bit, like I'm still busy doing that. And then I teach, yeah, once a week, at, CCA, the California yeah. College of the Arts in San Francisco.
How are you? So you were teaching before the pandemic and then the pandemic hit. How was that transition for you?
Oh, it was awful. Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah. Like, cause I mean, I remember like right before like lockdown happened, I was like, I know they're going to shut the school down. Like, I know this is going to happen. Is there a plan? And it didn't seem like anybody was like willing to admit that it was going to happen. Right. So, and then it happened and it was just a big scramble to figure out how to teach remotely. And it was a scramble for everybody. And yeah, I taught over Zoom for like a year and, you know, I mean, I felt bad for the students, you know, they're like,
yeah,
they paid a bunch of money. They're confused. They've got all this, they got to work in their parents', you know, house or something.
Right.
Yeah, it was hard. And it's hard to even know if they're learning anything. I mean, over Zoom, right. It's like most yeah. of the time they'd never turn their cameras on.
Right, you know? Can't even tell if they're in the room.
Yeah, and I could tell when they weren't paying attention because I'd like end yeah. class early and there'd be a bunch of people still logged on. I'm like, they're not even. Yeah. They're like playing, they're playing games.
I mean, what a disaster.
That's yeah.
Future of education.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody was kind of just doing it as best they could. Yeah, but now we're yeah. back kind of in person. And now I'm thinking I need a plague mask, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm wearing just regular
with one of those big fennel plague masks.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
Yeah. $9.99 at Walmart.
Just for like the intimidation factor alone, I think
exactly.
Yeah.
Be good.
There you go. And then when you just, when you point your beak at somebody and to call on them.
Yeah, I love yeah. it. Yes.
And throw a piece of fennel at them.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring out your dead. Bring out your freaking dead.
Yeah.
Come on, you hot-ons. Who's got my dead?
Uh-oh, he's back.
So,
bring
yeah,
out
yeah.
your freaking dead.
All right, so yeah, see, I can shut it off immediately. Wow.
Yeah, like that. We have the technology.
Yeah. So, all right, so Josh, you have a show out or something?
Yeah. Do you got a freaking show out or something?
Hey, you got a freaking
just
show?
To set it up,
an Josh? Ad show.
Yeah, this guy.
Bring up your ad yeah. show.
Hey, what can we look at this ad?
Yeah. It's, Josh lives in San Francisco. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Josh.
No, please do it again.
Yeah, he lives in San Francisco, and you have a show up at this really interesting gallery space, but it's like a window on Valencia Street. I don't know if it's still on Valencia Street.
Ooh, it is. Yeah, it's on Valencia at 21st Street in the Mission. It's a old art space. It's, I don't even know if a gallery is the right word. It's like a screening room for indie movies and
right.
art films. And it's been there forever. I don't know yeah. how it still exists, but I'm really glad it does. It's called
right.
ATA or Artist Television Access. From what I understand, I think they used to put out like a VHS tape, you know, of right. a compilations thing. I don't know if they still do that, but they do host events and I don't know if they had like a public access station either, but it sounds like they did. I don't know. But right now, here's what they have: is they have two windows in the front of their space. The left window is their window. And that's where my art is at. The right window is another artist co-op thing that kind of has their own thing going. So if you look at the left window at ATA, it's a small spot. It's like 7 feet wide, you know, by like 6.5 feet tall, just display window. It looks like if you didn't know what it was, you might think, you know, it's someone selling a bunch of old TVs because that's what I've got in there right now. And glassware.
Right. What does it look like during the day since it
hasn't yeah. I mean, that's what it looks like during the day because like there's no, it's on everything that I have, like all the video and stuff is on a timer. And so until 5 o'clock, it's just a bunch of TVs that are off and some large glass objects near them. but at like 5 o'clock, they turn on, but you don't like, you have to wait until the sun goes down a little bit to see it because this illusion requires a little bit of darkness. But once it, you know, 6:30 rolls by, you start seeing these large Pepper's Ghost fish floating in this giant bell jar. And then next to that, there's like 3 TVs and another fish. Or I have a bunch of different videos that go, but like one of them is a fish, one of them is the moon, and they transition between the televisions and the glass like objects that are nearby. So they go out of the screen of the television and into the glass and then back into the television again. It's hard to explain.
But there's a video available, and it's very, right. Like, the illusions are synced up really well. So it really, like, if it's nighttime and you walk by, you're going to stop and look at it for a while because you're going to be like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're on LSD.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. Which, yeah. Who hasn't been on Valencia Street on LSD?
Josh, I might have logged some time in a bar on Valencia Street called the Zeitgeist, I think.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah. At those picnic tables. Well, you guys lived there. Right?
The place with the big outdoor space that did the burgers on the smoker.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great place.
Great
burgers. We may have logged some time there.
I might have been there when you were there.
Yeah. I wouldn't have remembered.
Yeah.
But I mean, the cool thing about this art show is Valencia, at least when I was living in San Francisco, which was like, you know, over 10 years ago, Valencia Street was like really super well trafficked spot where people are walking up and down that street all time of the day. And I lived around that neighborhood, so I would be walking by ATA all the time, and it would always be cool to see a new show up there. So, I mean, even though, you know, it's a small little window, you're going to get a lot of people walking by and looking at it, and
yeah,
they might not necessarily connect it to your work,
but that's okay. I'm totally happy to just have something that I made that was just, it was just on my desk for the longest time. And, you know, I'd share it on Instagram and stuff, but, you know, being able to take it out and put it somewhere and just, it doesn't need to be like super attached to me or something. I just, I like that it's out there and I'm sharing it.
But Josh, you know what? There's probably a lot of people like, who are taking photos of it, and you'll never see that. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Like, same thing with my art that's on the trail. Actually, I went to the trail, and I walked past people talking about it and taking photos, and I just walked by like a secret Santa, whatever, you know, like,
some, yeah.
You know,
like a secret Santa.
Okay, put that up there, but I'm not gonna like tell anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you just fly on the wall or whatever. You just kind of hear what they're saying.
Carl's like in the forest behind a bush, peeking out.
I don't know, but what I'm saying, Josh, is you a lot of people are probably appreciating that you don't know, you know. You know, you can hide in a bush in San Fran. You might get killed or something.
I'll dress like Santa. Yeah. I'll be like,
there you go. Well. There's a day of the year where that's a good thing. You can go bar hopping.
That's true.
You know, you ever see the guy who dresses like a freaking bush and then jumps out and scares everybody?
Yeah. The Bushman.
It's like wondering why he doesn't get knocked out like more times. You know what I mean? Like,
it must happen every once in a while.
I think it's a franchise. There seems to be a Bushman in like every city. And,
right.
You know, and once they get injured, you know, they just replace him with another. You
know. Right. They're highly replaceable. Like,
also, they tend to like jump out and scare women too, which are probably less likely to punch you in the face.
No, they could probably mace you though, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women who probably know like martial arts, you know.
Sure.
Like, so I mean,
maybe I'm just being narrow-minded.
So you probably I think just a lot of people have a sense of humor. You know what I mean?
What?
You would hope.
Yeah.
Josh, your mission in the mission is to dress like Bushman and to see who the hell is looking at your artwork.
Well, you know, I go down there like every other day or so to right as it's turned on to make sure that the TVs haven't blinked out, because they're old TVs and they're on a timer, and you know, I hope they're on, but I have no way of knowing unless I go there and look. And the other thing that happens is the way that things get reflected, you know, in this hologram look or whatever, is there needs to be a piece of angled plastic in there, or glass, or whatever. I'm using plastic. And inside that window, it gets hot during the day.
Right.
I didn't anticipate this, but things will shift. So I've got this, like, I've got this stuff so that it's lined up just perfect so that the fish goes from this TV into the glass and then to the other TV. If that reflector like sags or something, you know, everything's way off. So I go down there, make sure all the TVs are, you know, working, and then I have to go in the window and kind of scoot things around to make sure shit lines up. But occasionally I'll be in there doing that, and like people will come by and they'll, you know, I can look at them, look at the artwork, you know, and that's been a lot of fun, that's especially so little cool. kids. Because I've got a video playing that's not like an illusion. It's just a video of my experiments that are playing. So if you can't see the illusion, you can at least just watch this demo reel of my other experiments, right?
Which
anyway,
is intense, yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to watch people watch that. And it's about eye level with like little kid height. So like this guy came over with his kids, and this little boy was watching the video play through as I'm trying to adjust this TV, and you know, I'm adjusting it, and I hear rabbit, fish, rabbit, fish, rabbit, fish. And I look over, and he's saying that because I've got a video of a rabbit turning into a fish, into a rabbit, into a fish.
So cool.
And yeah. And he was just saying that out loud. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did ATA get in touch with you?
Well, okay, so because of the thrift store thing, the guy who runs the electronics department at the thrift, like, knows me, and he puts things aside for me, and he's also an artist, and I had just helped him hang his show at ATA, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, is that Mission Thrift?
Oh, Community Thrift.
That's like right down the street from ATA too, right?
Yeah. Community Thrift is at 17th in Valencia, and ATA is at 21st in Valencia. Right. Yeah. So yeah, he put in a good word for me. It's kind of, I just hit my mic. It's kind of, yeah, it was kind of word of mouth or whatever. I think it's pretty like, you know, loosely run as far as, you know, how they curate the show. They were very trusting and cool. I mean, they didn't really ask too much about what I was going to put together. I thought that was great to have that kind of freedom. And, you know, I'm glad I was hesitant to do it, to be honest. Like, I wasn't even sure I wanted to show this out in public yet. I've been an illustrator like for, you know, 20 years, and doing this video stuff has just been something that I've been doing to stay sane at home and share with people. And you know, like, it came up a couple times, like, you should do the ATA window, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know, I mean, yeah, that would be cool. And then eventually when it got put on the calendar, I'm like, okay, I guess this is happening. So I spent like a good, you know, month and a half just kind of, you know, making it, like, getting all this stuff together so that I could take it over there and put it in the window.
Josh,
yeah,
I just thought of a project for you.
Okay.
A freaking R2-D2 projecting Princess Leia, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope, man.
If Lucasfilm wants to pay for it, you know, I'll do it.
Well, I'm sure they're listening to the podcast. They'll probably be contacting you.
Yes. I can't wait. So I've got all kinds of ideas. There's like a list. My mom had one today. What did she say? Like, I called to check in with her, and she's like, you need to do like a shark, and the shark guys chasing, I don't know, something. It's just, it would be a recurring character. You should have a shark. I'm like, okay, mom, I'll have a shark. Oh man.
Well, it gives me a lot of ideas, because I actually have been photographing a lot lately on black backgrounds.
Oh yeah, you should do some Pepper's Ghosts.
Yeah, I could easily do that. I'm actually thinking, I mean, I'm going to be grilling tonight. I might just take like some of the chunks of wood that I use and just like put them on a platform with a black card behind them and
do it.
Have a fire and then see.
Yeah.
That could be good.
You don't even need to use. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say this seems totally up Chris's alley too.
Yeah.
Sweet. Anyway, Josh, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh no, it's okay. I just thought of like, you know, I told you you could use a cassette case, but you could use a CD case as well. You just need to prop the cover up a little bit so that, you know, it's at a 45 degree angle. That's all you need.
Yeah. So Josh, do you want to tell everyone where they can see your work and buy your buttons and stuff like that?
Oh yeah. Okay. So on Instagram, it's at ellingson.tv, and that's where you can see like pretty much all my experiments with this video stuff and the Pepper's Ghost and whatever. And then if you're interested in the pins, that's just at www.ellingson.tv. So you can find all those there, and links to my work are all over the place in those two sites.
Yeah. Cool.
Excellent. And then your show is at ATA on Valencia Street at 21st and Valencia.
That's correct. And it's up until
the rest of the month.
Yeah, it's up. I'm going to take it down on the 31st or maybe the day before. So
you don't get that Halloween traffic.
I know that they were way more concerned about me having it taken down in time than up in time. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's been awesome being on the show. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, of course, man. It's a pleasure to have you. Yeah. Chris, do you have any links?
I'm LiveFireCook on Instagram, livefirecook.com. If you see LiveFireCook online, that's probably me.
Cool.
And I am at AndyRestino.com, and you can find links to my YouTube and Instagram and Tumblr, everything there. And then I also, Carl, I don't even know if you know this, but I've been recording another podcast with our other brother, Phil. It's his podcast. It's called the Post-Relevant Movement. And a new episode, the first episode, is probably going to come out in the next week or two.
So, that's awesome. All right, I'm madcarl.com, madspiral.com. Oh, the art show goes till the 17th. It's on a trail in the woods. It's in the center trail. And it has to do with the marathon. So
in Hopkinton, Massachusetts.
Hopkinton, Massachusetts. So you guys don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So get the hell out of the yacht shed.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Josh Ellingson, for being on the show. Thanks to Carl and Chris for helping host the show. Thanks to all our listeners for listening to the show. Thanks to Ed Guild and Andy Sinspago for the Matt Carl Stomp. See y'all next time, everyone.
Peace.
In my ears.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah.